So we left off on Mem Gimel Amud Aleph, so about the middle of the page. But just a little review of the last page. So Rav Chisda made this comment that you can't put a kli underneath underneath a chicken to receive the egg, but you can put a kli on top. And then Rabba tries to explain Rav Chisda, and he says, well, the reason is because Rabba tried to explain that they permitted something which was a normal activity for muktzah, meaning it's normal that the chicken would lay an egg and you could put something under it. And then there were five challenges, and each of the challenges, the answer was, well, this was a common experience, and therefore Chazal didn't make a gzeira in that way. You're allowed to move for that. That was according to Rabba. Then you had a different explanation. That was Rav Yosef, which is the eighth line on Mem Gimel and Aleph. Rav Yosef gave a different reason. He said the reason is that that you're not allowed to break a kli, so to speak. If you would put something under the chicken, the eggs, when the egg is on it, you're mevat kli hachano. And then it gave a list of questions, and each of the questions was, well, in that particular case, there's no muktzah in the end. Like, for example, the case of the tevel. So the tevel really is not muktzah because you could actually take out the other food, and or you could even take out, if you took out the truma, so the rest of the food would not be muktzah, or the sparks that fly, so they fall apart, they're not going to be muktzah. So therefore, you're not actually ruining the kli. Okay, so... But those all are to explain Rav Chisda, who said you can put a kli under the chicken to get the egg, you cannot put it under the chicken, but you're allowed to put it on top of it, right? So, Rav, where are we here? So now we're on the next to last narrow line. All right, Yitzchak.
I forgot. I learned this a while ago. I forgot. Did they ever discuss a case where you put something under the chicken and then put something on top of the chicken?
Oh, both?
Yeah, both.
No.
I didn't think it
wouldn't matter how the chicken would be on top of the egg after the egg is laid.
Yeah, not the chicken. Yeah.
No. It's just, so Rav Chisda says, Rav Yitzchak has a different opinion. Rav Yitzchak says the same way you can't put it under the kli, you also can't put it on top of the kli, right? So Rav Chisda said you're not allowed to put it under the kli because you're going to be mevata kli mechana, so to speak. You're going to be taking a kli for something which is not nital. You can't take a kli using something which can't be taken itself. That was Rav Chisda's. That was Rabba's explanation of Rav Chisda. Rav Yosef's explanation of Chisda was mevata mechana. You're destroying the kli, but. Again, there were five cases to try and undo their explanation of Chisda, and each one of them was undone and was resolved. So, but Rav Yitzchak had a different opinion altogether of Chisda. Right? Rav Chisda said you can not put a kli under the chicken to catch the egg, but you can put it on top of the kli once the egg is laid. But Rav Yitzchak is of a different opinion. Rav Yitzchak says, again, the last narrow line, Rabbi Yitzchak, Hashem ain't knows from Kli Tachas Tzarin Goles, Kal Beit Tzah. So just the same way you can't put it underneath, Kach in Kofen Olav Kli, Bishra Lo Tishavar. You also can't put it on top. And the point here is that you cannot take a Kli for something which is not Nithal B'Shabbos. It's Kosavar, ain't Kli Nithal El Dover HaNithal B'Shabbos. You can only take a Kli to use for something which is not Muktzah. Meaning you can take... So because the egg cannot be moved, so you can't take a kli and put it on the egg either, because you're now taking a kli for something which is not, just like the egg's not movable, you can't take something and put it on top of the kli, on top of the egg, to serve the egg, so to speak. Okay, so now the second wide line. Meisvei, so Gemara says, Meisvei behind to Yufta, all the questions that they asked on Rabba, they asked Rabbi Yosef, they asked again. All right, all the same questions about the Tevel, and about the broken chavis, and the candle with the sparks coming down, and the board to hold up the roof. All these, every single one day, and the different answers were given for Rav to defend Rabba and to defend Rabbi Yosef, and here to defend, if you will, Rabbi Yitzchak, they ask the same, all these same questions. To defend him, they say the following, Shani b'tzarach l'makomo. Oh. So the idea was they needed the place. So let's just go back to, let's take the board case, all right? So you take the board away. Why? Because you need not the board, you need the place where the board is. You want to sit down where the board is, all right? Or you want to sit down where the teva, where the kavasal teva is. You want to sit down where the cleaning soda, wherever it is, you want to sit down over there. So therefore, you're now allowed to move it. You are now allowed to move, you are now allowed to move that object. Once you can move the object, so now you can put it down wherever you want. So if you can Rashi, but tell us about Rashi, but Sarch Makomo, Lish Tamish Mokom HaKli, to use the place where the Kli is, because you can move it from the place where it is, you can take it to a place where you want. Okay, so let's take, for example, not one of the cases here, but a kli, which is malachto le'isur, but it's not doing anything usur, right? So you're allowed to move it l'sarf makomo l'sarf gufo. So let's take the case of a hammer, right? So hammer is mutzah, because obviously it's made for building. But if you want to use the hammer to crack walnuts, you're allowed to do that. Okay, let's suppose that the hammer is in your Shabbos seat where you sit at the table, right in front of where you want to put the plate down to eat. You're also allowed to move the hammer. Okay, so now, if I pick the hammer up to use it to crack the walnut, I understand I cracked the walnut, and I'm done, right? But if I pick it up to, because I want to put my plate down, so I need the place, where do I put the hammer down? Do I have to like drop it on the floor? So Rashi's basically telling us, no. Once it's in your hand, beheter, you could take it wherever you want. Oh, so once you take it wherever you want, you can take it and you could hold, put it up. You can now put it up to hold up the roof, and you can now put it and so on to catch the nitzotzos. You can now do it because you didn't move it for that purpose. You moved it because you wanted the place where it was. Once you moved it, now you can put it down one of these places, and that's permissible. Okay. So these kli that's a nital is not nital dorish nital b'shabbos, right? El nital b'shabbos.
He doesn't have
so
any problem not, with the place being like. I know we talked about this before, that people would go around saying, "Yeah, I need the hammer to move over there." So I'm just gonna say that I need it for the place. Is that different?
No, you have
is
to
that
need
the
it.
Same.
No, you have to need it for the place.
Well, there wouldn't be a problem with people making excuses that...
No, I think, no.
Like that. What we talked about earlier.
Right. I think, because I think, it could be, in this case, they'll see that you're actually going to use the place. I mean, you know, if I'd randomly just, like, go over there and take the hammer, you know, fine. But if Tzarch Makomo, usually it's obvious what the Tzarch Makomo need is. In other words, that's why I pick, like, the place at the table is an obvious need, or my bed, you know, is an obvious need. Okay. So now I could take it and I could put it in a place where normally I couldn't take it, even for a kli that's ain't onital, because I'm not picking it up with davar shenital. I'm picking it up for my own use. Oh, so the same thing is true. I'm picking the cup. This cup is sitting right here, and I don't want this cup. It's dirty, let's say, and I'm not going to use this cup, or I'm having milk, it's salacious, whatever it is. So I could, I'm going to take it out of here so I could eat. All right. Well, now I picked it up. I can put it on top of the egg. Okay. Okay. So now the Gemara continues with other questions. Tosh, my third line. Third word line. Tashma achas beitza shenolda b'shabbos achas beitza shenolda b'yomtov. Right? Whether it's an egg that's laid on Shabbos, an egg that's laid on Yontif. Right? So they're both mutzah. No lad. Ein metaltlin. You're not allowed to pick it up. Lo lechasos bo asakli. You're not allowed to pick up to cover it with a kli. Right? Or v'lismu v'al kremita. Or I don't really know how this works, but to take the egg, to stick it under the bedpost. So this is a physics truth. I don't think it probably does work, but if you stand the egg up exactly right, then it'll hold up anything. Okay, because the oblong shape of it. Okay, avokofa of kli. So, but the point is, you can't move it. Letzar gufo, you can't cover it, right? You can't use it. But avokofa of kli, bishras lo tishaver, right? So if that's a question, why is it you're allowed to cover it? So the Gemara answers, Hachanami b'sarach l'mkomo. Okay, sarach l'mkomo. So Tosfos, we'll just read the first line of it. It's the middle of the bottom, right? Shana b'sarach l'mkomo. Hidin osin kli tachsad laf. Ikonam l'shnu b'slaf haroi k'shanei. Yeah, so he just starts with other cases, but the point, Tosfos, I'm not going to go into long Tosfos, but the main point that Tosfos is, actually it's not that Tosfos, the bottom Tosfos, Kofel of Kli, 2 lines at the bottom, Kol Hanik Demaisei, Yoda Maksha, the Muslim Shnei B'Sarach Makomo. All these questions we knew B'Sarach Makomo would be a good answer, right? Maybe there's another way that you could explain why it's okay to take the cover of the egg, the kli, and put it on top of the egg. Maybe there's another reason. So he says, no, there is not another reason. So that's why he asked the question, since he already said all the previous ones are answered by Tzarek Makomo, that's why he can move the original kli. The same reason applies here. Why add it on? It's the same reason. He says, because there's still speculation. Maybe there's another reason. So that's why the questions were asked. Maybe there's another reason other than Tzarek Makomo. Okay. Back in the Gemara. Toshma, 6 lines from the bottom. Toshma, Porsin, Machatzolos, Agave Avonim, B'Shabbos. So you're allowed to spread over a mat on stones on Shabbos. So stones on Shabbos intrinsically are mutzah. Rashi says, why would you do this? Rashi says, 5 lines, 6 lines at the bottom. Gabi Avonim, Tehar G'shamim, Shelo Yimachu, Lo Yikablu Sid, Me'achar Shashuris Mayim. So they won't be smoothed out, or they won't be able to accept plaster because, again, they're smoothed out. So that's why you're going to put mats over it to protect the stones. See, now they do that on Shabbos, right? What are stones to be used for? These stones are used, obviously, for building, but stones, anyway, are going to be mutzah. Building and not building are going to be mutzah. So he says, oh no, these stones are different stones. Bavanim mekruzolos. These are stones which Rashi describes, Rosh on Chad. The one head of it is sharp. I don't think it means necessarily sharp, but it means thin. Urios the kinuach davidovranital. So in the days of Gemara, there was no toilet paper, and this was a common way they would use. They would use something which obviously was, like I call it, like a cone, so to speak. And the thin edge of the cone would be able to wipe the chazil besakise, be able to do what today with toilet paper does. Okay. So therefore, these stones are mukhan. They're not mukhzah. They're not building implements. Yeah. They're not mukhzah. They're prepared for this. That's why you can move the machzolos to put them on stones, because the stones are not mukhzah. Another case, toshma porsim machzolos agavi levenim, on bricks. Well, bricks are made for building. You can't use bricks for this. B'Shabbos. Okay. So the Gemara answers, why is that allowed? It's because dishtar mibinyana. Oh, these are leftover bricks. The building is finished. Now you have a pile of bricks. The chazin on the mizga alayhu, and this is people will normally sit on them or lean on them. Rashi says to once on the bottom, lisha ein, right? Shakol hasabas on kachoisa yoshet ksas menishan ksas al smolo. People would sit. They would lean. That's a normal way that people would sit in those days. So they would be able to lean on the pile of bricks. So again, the pile of bricks after the building is finished, the pile of bricks was not mukts anymore. Because it's not made for building, it's made for leaning. Okay, three on the bottom, another case. Toshma come and ask the following. Porsimach selos agave kaveres dvorim b'Shabbos. Interesting case. You're allowed to take a mat and put it on a beehive on Shabbos. Well, a beehive should be mukzah, right? It's for bees, right? B'chama b'nei hachama b'kshom shashomim. What are you doing? You're protecting the beehive from the sun, if it's too sunny, or from the rain, right? Protect the beehive. Ubuvachlo is kavin lotzud, but you have to be careful that you don't have kavana to hunt, right? To trap the bees, because now they trap bees, right? So the question is, why are you allowed to do this? After all, the beehive is for the bees, and therefore it should be mukzah. So Gemara says, nahochma eskinan, dika dvash. No, there's a beehive with honey in it, so therefore the beehive is not mukzah. I use honey, and I take the honey out of it, and so on. If it's only left with the bees, we'll call out of season, that would be a problem. Amle Rav Ukva, mi Meishan, Rav Ukva from the place of Meishan, says Rav Ashi, tenach mi mosachama, this is fine, in the summer, the ikar devash, right? In the summer, apparently, there's honey left. But all the honey, I guess, is harvested by the bee farmer, the bee farmer, before the rains come. So then it would not be mukzah. However, b'mosach shamim deleko devash mikol ameimar. But in the rainy season, there is no honey left in there because all the honey is taken out. Not exactly. What does the Gemara say? Devash mikol ameimar lo nisochel osan shtei chalos. Yes, but apparently there are always two. A chala is a honeycomb. It's called a chalos devash. So apparently two honeycombs were always left don't know if you've ever seen inside a beehive. It's like many, many, many honeycombs. They would leave two inside. What are the two inside? The two inside is for the bees. All right? Rashi says, Shtei chalos, top line. Kol ha-kaveres osin osa devorim. Chalos chalos shot tzvichis devash. Like wafers and wafers, wafers of honey. V'shava and wax, beeswax. U'kasher rodin osan, when the beekeeper takes them out, so to speak. Minichin boshtayim, she is promised to mehan advorim. And when they empty out the beehive, they leave in two, that the devorim, that the bees, can be misparnes. They could sustain themselves, klamos hakshom, through the whole rainy season. Kiritnan ba'mokhe sasfina, lokeh chalos kaveres chavero, meniach shtei chalos destamelo mecharan. So therefore, if you buy a beehive, it's understood the beehive's going to come with two shelves of the, right, of the honey, two honeycombs. Because that's the normal way that one would, you would not leave it without those two honeycombs. So the Gemara asks an obvious question, third line. If that's the case for Mitzvos Ninu, if that's the case, they're Mutzah. They're not for you, they're for the bees. Rashi, the second narrow line, Mutzah Ninu Ludvorim, Hadar Havile Davar Sheinu Nital. Again, the honey is something you're not going to take because you have to leave those two honeycombs for the bees. Afil Hochem Etatlam Akhtzel Slatzlasan. Nonetheless, we said you can cover them, so why is that okay? You're taking something for Dalashan and Ital. The man says, no, the Chashav Alayhu. Rashi says, L'meyas L'achila, because I thought I'm going to eat them. Hal Chashav Alayhi, Alayhu Mai. What if I didn't think about them? What would be the case? All right, so okay, I'm not nice to the bees, but I did decide before Shabbos I'm going to eat some of this. All right? Maybe I'll replace them after Shabbos with other ones. So the Gemara says, Asur. Right? If I didn't think about them, so then the beehive is mukzah because it's not made for me. What's left in there is only for the bees. If that's the case, why does it say anything about hunting? Why is it bringing the thing about trapping the bees? Right, that's as long as you don't trap the bees. What do you mean trap the bees? It's a weather question. You left with you left stuff that's not mukzah in there. I mean, if you had in mind to take even less two honeycombs, then it's not mukzah. If you didn't have in mind to take them, to eat from them, it is mukzah. So why did the Braisa say that? Hakamash malon afilu chishiv aleihem. It shows even if you thought about them. Right. This is what it teaches us. Even if he thought he wants to take them. So if he thought he wants to take the honey, fine, then it's not going to be mukzah, but you still have another qualifier, namely, Luvashlu is kavin latsud. But yeah, but you still have to make sure that you're not going to trap the bees. I mean, so you have two issues. One issue is the mukzah issue. They have to make sure that you want to, that you have in mind you're going to take some on Shabbos, therefore the beehive does not become mutzah on Shabbos. But even so, the beehive is not mutzah on Shabbos. You still have this issue that you can't have to make sure that you don't trap the bees. So if that's the case, who is this like with Shimon Rabbi Yehuda? Okay, Shimon Rabbi Yehuda, based on machlokas, the general explanation of how the machlokas is categorized is Rabbi Shimon says less than mutzah, Rabbi Yehuda says there is mutzah. All right. So Rabbi Shimon doesn't really say there's no mutzah, but he has a very, very limited types of mutzah. And he would not include this in that. Rav Shimon, lesle mukzah. If it's Rav Shimon, he would not consider this to be mukzah, right? Because it's still usable. Rav Yehuda, kilomis kave mai have. And if it's Rav Yehuda, so what if I don't intend to trap the bees? Hadov Hashem is kave asur. So what? According to Rav Yehuda, even if I don't intend to do it, it's still going to be asur if it's likely to happen. Not psikreshi, likely to happen. Yolam Yehuda, no, it's Rav Yehuda. What does it mean that he has to be careful not to trap? You can't make it like a trap. Rashi explains what does that mean. Meaning if you totally encase the beehive, obviously that's a trap. Right. So as long as he leaves an opening, right. So now it's not psikresh anymore, all right? But he has to still not be miskaven, right?
Right. Doesn't it go but into if how you, much is... I think somewhere else or here it goes into what exactly is trapping.
Yeah, so trapping is a very unusual... We'll come back to the second. Trapping is a very unusual malacha, but so basically, according to Rav Yehuda, you have to make sure it's not enclosed and that the bees can clearly get out. According to Rav Shimon, you would just have to make sure that it's plausible for bees to get out. Okay, that's not the Gemara here. Okay, it happens to be that trapping is very unusual malacha because trapping is one of those malachas which doesn't change anything. You know, like sewing changes something, writing changes something, shechting changes something. Carrying is called a malacha grua because it doesn't change anything. You just move it from here to there. So trapping is considered to be, by some, also as malacha grua. It's not a typical malacha. So it could be this is an unusual exception. Mm-hmm. The Gemara does not mention that over here, but that's a fact. Okay. Mm-hmm. So Ravashi now goes back to the original comment. The original comment, the Brisa said that you can put the cover on when it's sunny for the sun, when it's rainy for the rain. Not in the rainy season and the sunny season. The sunny season, okay, there's honey. The rainy season, there's no honey. Okay, but there is a time when the sun and there is rain, right? Think about Eretz Yisrael. Okay, so in April or March, there's both. In September, October, there's both, right? If you come in January, February, it's rain, rain, rain. If you come in July and August, there's not a drop of rain. It's all sun, right? So that's what Ravashi said. I'm not talking about the season, but rather, right? Katani biyomei Nisan, biyomei Tishrei, dika chama, vika tzina, that's a parenthetical, vika geshamim is the main thing, right? So basically, when you come to Nisan, call it April, come to Tishrei, call it September, all right? So there is sun, and there is rain, vika devash, and there is honey, all right? So that's what Ravashi says, that's what it's talking about. Okay. Amalur Rav Sheshes. So now Rav Sheshes comes. So let's just go back to what did Rav Yitzchak say? Rav Yitzchak said, the same way as you can put a kli under the chicken to catch the egg, you also cannot put a kli on top of the chicken to catch the egg, right? All these other cases were cases where there was some other exception where it's not really davar hanital, a davar sheino nital, meaning the honeycomb, how we figured out, is not a davar sheino nital, meaning there's honey there or there might be honey there. Okay, and the only concern there at the end was trapping. The davar sheino miskaven is an issue for Yehuda. Okay, but now Rav Sheshes has another comment. Another Rav Sheshes. So come and look and tell you the following. Rav Huna explained your comment in Babel. Rav Huna, osim mechitza lemeis bishvil chai. They know some mechitza lemeis bishvil meis. Ah, so remember, Rav Chista said, Yitzchak said, you cannot take a kli for davash en edital. Okay, so. Somebody dies, God forbid, right? Somebody dies, the person's muktzah. Okay. Now, it's very hot. It's 100 degrees outside. And the person's outside. And there's an error. There's no issue of carrying. But you're not allowed to do anything, according to Rav Yitzchak, you would not be allowed to do anything to protect the mace from the heat. Right? It's Shabbos. You know, it's going to deteriorate. You don't want to protect the body somewhere. You're not allowed to do it. Right? This is the Rabbanans. Okay, you're not allowed to do it. So this is what the solution is. I'm Rav Huna Osim Mechisa L'Meis V'Chai, and it's Mechisa L'Meis B'Shvil Meis. Oh, but you can make a Mechisa for the Meis for a Chai. Okay, well, so there's a Meis, and we're there. We're not there, you're a Kohen, but I'm there with somebody else, all right? Okay? So what are we going to do? This is what we're going to do. Delmer Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda V'Chein Tana Shila Mari Meis, Meis Hamuto B'Chama. This is what happens. Somebody's passed away, and they're in the heat. In the sun, ba'im shnei b'nei adam, two Jews come, the yoshvim b'tzido, and they sit. So the mace is in the middle, two people on the two sides, and it gets hot. Cham lahem milamata, it's the ground becomes hot. What do? Zem evimita yoshiv ala zem evimita yoshiv. They bring a mat and they sit on the mat, or they bring a bed, they sit on the bed. Right, no problem with carrying. Right, they sit on the bed. So now there's no problem from the heat from the ground. All right, cham lahem milamala. oh, now it's hot above. So Mevi'in, Mevi'in Machzeles, who first in Alehen. What do? They take a sheet, a mat, and they put it over them. They hold it over them. I hold here, he holds here. Oh, lo and behold. And the mace is covered. Okay. But now look at this. So everything we did so far was for us, right? Okay. Now, Zezokeh mitaso v'nishmat, v'holichlo. I get up, I take my bed, I stand it up on its side, and I leave. V'zezokeh mitaso v'nishmat v'holichlo. And this one sticks his bed up. Yeah, but the sheet is still there. Right? So what happens? Bed here, sheet here, and the mace is covered. Right? V'nitzes mechitza asuya me'eleha. Right? And therefore the mechitza is done for its own. So that is okay. Alright? Why is that okay? Because we took it for Dovah HaNital. Okay? But the main point here is that you cannot take it for Dovah She'enu Nital. Okay, well, let's